Well, thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. Good job, huh? I enjoyed that very, very much. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 5, if you will. Romans chapter 5. I want to share some thoughts here, and I still think we'll, an early service, we were able to still get out on time, so I think we can do it. I know you may not believe that, but I think we can. I'm going to do a lot of reading on this so we don't get sidetracked. If I walk away from the pulpit, we get ourselves in trouble. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to begin in verse 18. Romans chapter 5, and move right into Romans chapter 6. Again, I appreciate you being here with us, and I hope the presentation was a blessing to you. And I think this is a little thought-provoking on some things here. Romans chapter 5, verse number 18 says, "Therefore, as by one offense, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." Speaking of Adam. "Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, Adam, so by the obedience of one man, of one shall many be made righteous, Jesus. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." What does that mean? Well, with the law, we knew what sin is, and yet we defiantly and proudly sinned anyway, which really made it a greater sin. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." In other words, we cannot out-sin the grace of God. "That as sin hath reigned," or ruled, or controlled us, "that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign," or take over control, "through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Where sin does abound, grace more abounds. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Jump down to verse number 6 here. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign or rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield your members as instruments of, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? No, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things which whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's amazing how many Americans do not want to mention God or salvation or redemption. But if they do mention God, many of them want to make sure we know that God knows that it is His job to be merciful and gracious concerning our sins and should not hold our sins against us or accountable because in our ignorance of truth and of righteousness, we meant well. We've come to a point in our society where we don't like to mention sin, but if we do, we also mention that God shouldn't be upset about it because He's supposed to be loving and gracious. Our nation has been walking away from the righteousness that's in God's Word. And there are consequences to that. That's our word of prayer, and I want to speak on the topic of this: liberty lost. Liberty lost. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truths. Thank You that You didn't just let us wallow in the sin and then hold us accountable for it. But Lord, You have given us truth. But You also have given us a choice whether we're going to abide by the truth, to obey the truth and the righteousness, or whether we're going to obey sin unto death. Lord, I pray for our nation. I love our nation. Lord, I don't want to lose our nation. But Lord, I think if we're not careful, we may be on the brink of such things. I pray You speak to our hearts here this morning and stir in our hearts the passion to do what we can in Your power to save our nation. Instill in us the passion and the compassion needed, the fortitude, the direction to play our role within the context of the greater role, to do our part in winning our nation to Christ. So, Lord, speak to our hearts. We give You the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. One of the greatest pieces of classical literature is a writing called Paradise Lost by Milton. Man's sinfulness steals away his relationship with God and thus alienates him from the sweet splendor of the Lord's creation. I believe the Lord gave the United States of America a little taste of paradise for many years. The Lord's hand has been on this nation in ways almost totally unseen otherwise in history. The Lord has raised up this nation above all other nations and giving it blessings greater than imagination could wish. And that has been because, as much as liberals and progressives want to deny it, our founding fathers framed the government of our nation on the principles of the Word of God, not the word of man or some philosopher. Time after time, the souls of this nation have turned back to God in times of trials and tribulation. And in these times, there were many who chafed at the thought of a righteous God and certainly not of a Savior in Jesus Christ. However, the overwhelming majority of the men framing the Constitution found their way back to God in prayer and fasting. In the time of civil war, a call was made by our president and sanctioned by the Congress for the nation to humble itself before the Lord in prayer and fasting, lest our young nation be torn apart. In times of international world war, American citizens flocked to the church houses for prayer and the interceding hand of God. In fact, there's a poster out here that was put up about that time, right outside these doors here, about going to church and praying for our nation and our servicemen in the wars. Even as recently as 9/11 in 2001, our governmental leaders sang the Lord's blessing on the Capitol steps, like the lady sang, "God Bless America." But that token of religiosity was short-lived, and within 2 weeks, the lawmakers were voting to kill unborn babies once again. In a recent Associated Press article in our local York Daily Record, Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023, just within last week here, account was given about a Gallatin, Tennessee, where a conservative majority has won the election for the county commissioners, and they're trying to bring the county back to previous norms. However, the headline read this: County's hard right shift worries some. Subtitle, conservative officials push anti-government agenda. Well, you know, it also could have read just as easily, current political trends worry conservatives. New commissioners offer hope. These people are not anti-government, they just are against the government in its current anti-God version. The mission statement of the group says they seek to operate the county in an orderly and fiscally efficient manner and, quote, most importantly, reflective of the Judeo-Christian values inherent in the nation's founding. And then it goes on and says some Republicans and community members say the commissioners are operating outside political norms, inviting lawsuits and jeopardizing elections and other county operations. Listen, now that the camel of liberalism has taken over the tent, he wants to keep everyone else out. God-fearing government may be contrary to current norms, but the current norms are contrary to the well-established norms of that our nation was founded on and under which it operated for over 200 years. In our current time, citizens of the United States who believe that our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, morals, and ethics are called Christian nationalists, or as the current administration prefers to call them, extreme right-wing domestic terrorists. President Biden ran his first campaign with the slogan, "We're fighting for the soul of America." And indeed, they are fighting to control the souls of America, but so is Satan. His slogan this year for the election is finish the job. I think more aptly it should be phrased, finish them off. Though our nation has never been perfect, and though at times it had to be reminded of its creator, yet the Lord has been merciful in restoring us over and over. However, we are not guaranteed the blessing of the Lord if we turn our backs on him. Nineveh repented when Jonah preached and was given another chance. But if you read Nahum, Nineveh once again went back to his wickedness and the Lord destroyed them. There are people who said, they didn't think Nineveh even existed. Then they found some lumps out in the middle of the desert and found out in the 1800s that was the city of Nineveh. That's how far gone that God took them. Our nation has become more obstinate in recent years and in greater depravity than ever. We become impudent in our actions and blatantly rebellious. We call good evil and evil good. We have perverted the Lord's design of family and morality and call it enlightened. Joshua 24:20 says, "If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good." How many people say, "We're America. We always come out on top." Yes, we have, by the grace of God. But if we spit in the Lord's face, we better be careful. 2 Chronicles 15:2, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Listen, the Lord gave us life and the Lord gave us liberty. But those gifts come in the context of righteousness. We have left righteousness to serve sin. And sin brings forth death and chains of destruction. And our nation is on the brink of losing its liberty. Thomas Jefferson. Infamous Thomas Jefferson. Everyone wants to talk about how lack of faith he had. Listen, he sounds like a better than a lot of preachers across our nation. Listen to this. Thomas Jefferson, quote, "God who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." Man, if that was preached across the world, across the country. Today, we honor those that have fought for our freedom. We encourage those that are currently fighting for our freedom. And of course, as David said when he was about to face the giant, he says, all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hands. into our hands. And we've seen this evidence in the history of our nation, beginning with the Revolutionary War. The Lord gave us this nation. Daniel 2:20 says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, and He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." If the Lord spoke the universe into existence, can He not do the same with nations? In Psalm 33:8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There's no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. If any man thinks they know otherwise, let them be reminded in Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Do we think that the patriots who founded this nation and even fought and died, giving it birth, did not have this concept in mind? Listen to verse number 4 of our Star-Spangled Banner. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. And by the way, there are some in recent years who have sought to do away with the star-spangled banner. They wanted something more universal. It is universal. It's everybody's. You don't have to have a national anthem for a certain race. We're all Americans. No matter what color, where you came from. If you're loyal to our nation, you're American. Why do we need people trying to divide us from being Americans? Are people divided against itself will fall. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. Let me make a few points here before we go. Number one, our nation was given freedom by God. I read it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. God made a choice to bless us because we made a choice to fear Him. If the Lord makes you free, you shall be free indeed. John 8:31 says, Then said Jesus to those which believed on Him. Watch. If ye continue in My word, crucial, key. If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 1960s, our nation decided we didn't want to teach our children the Word of God. We took it out of the public schools and prayer. Now, I understand it's the job of the parents and the church to be teaching the kids the Word of God. But you know what? By that choice, by that stand, they said, we don't want it to come to our kids. If we can stop the Word of God getting to our kids, we're going to stop it wherever we can. They divorced themselves from God. When you divorce yourself from God, you also divorce yourself from His blessing, from His protecting hand. He says, now listen, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Didn't say set you free, as if we're okay by ourselves, and we just got to give ourselves a little space. No, He's going to make you free. He's going to create you into a new creation. They answered Him, said, well, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, we're Americans. We don't serve anybody. No one's going to take control of us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Number one, our nation is given freedom by God. Number two, when the people of a nation refuses God, they are by default refusing freedom. If they refuse God, as a nation refuses God, they are by default refusing freedom. Again, I said in the 1960s, we decided to deny our children the knowledge of God in the public schools. In the name of freedom and liberty, our nation is denying God and in the process destroying itself. Our nation wants to be free to live sinfully if they so desire. However, there is no freedom in sinfulness, only captivity and destruction. Abortion rights are not human rights. In fact, there is no right there. Bible says in Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, but use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law was fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Listen, you can hardly walk down the streets these days. People just push folks into subways. They just attack them from behind. For what reason? Whatever. We can be destroyed of ourselves. In the name of freedom, our citizens steal and destroy and maim and murder one after another until there's going to be no more freedom. The wages of sin is death. What we're earning with all this sin is death. Proverbs 13:9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Verse 13, whoso despiseth the word, there it is again. If you continue in my word, remember, this is what it says, whosoever despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. We all going to serve something. Either we serve the Lord or we serve our flesh. And we serve our flesh, we're setting ourselves up for destruction. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Liberals will say, well, what you conservatives are calling sin is not sin. Because it's not my fault. God made me this way. Well, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he with any man. You listen, you were not born in the wrong body. God is not making you desire a same-sex relationship. So don't blame your sin on your Lord. He goes on, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't get this wrong. Don't get this wrong. Listen, I don't hate those folks. Are they confused? Yes. Have they bought into the world's philosophy? Yes. And some of them need to know Jesus as Savior. I mean, most of them do. And realize that they're loved just the way they are. But that doesn't make the sin right. Number three, we are servants of those people and those things that we choose to serve. Freedom to sin is not freedom. Our nation feels we want to be free to sin as we please. That's not freedom. It's not going to bring you freedom. Again, I read this. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? In other words, does being American mean we have the freedom to do as we please? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Ye become the servants of righteousness. We can be forgiven. Forgiven. I've been redeemed and now I'm free. Forgiven. By God's mercy, all my chains are gone. I'm moving on. Forgiven. Number four, our nation has decided that in its liberty, it is free to serve sin if it so desires, and that God needs to be okay with that. And if not, we simply leave God. We have chosen sin over righteousness, and the end of sin is death. We've chosen the chains of sin instead of the freedom in Christ. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Listen, I'll be honest with you. There may be folks in this room right now. I know there's people in our nation who listen to a message like I'm giving you right now and the scripture and how it backs up exactly what I'm saying. And they're mad at me because it's not justifying their sin. How dare I do that? Well, how dare you thumb your nose at the God creator of the universe? I'm not doing it. Listen, I'm not mad. I'm pleading with you. Don't mess with God. I'm glad. Listen, we can fear God. I'm glad to be able to say, hey, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. But the fact is, when daddy's mad at me, he's bigger than me. Many in our nation are being held captive by their own sin. Addictions, strongholds have overtaken their lives until their lives are no longer their life. Sexual obsessions have overtaken them and is controlling them. They're oppressed by the very sins that they demand to have the freedom to practice. Suicide rates are much higher among those that have allowed sin to dictate their beliefs and actions. And they blame it on us because we made them feel bad. No, we didn't make them feel bad. The Holy Spirit made them feel bad. Well, that's not loving. It is, because he's trying to get you away from the sin, because the wages of sin is death. God is trying to pull you away from the edge of the cliff before you fall to your demise. Innocent people are confined to their homes and fearful to go into public for fear of physical attack. If our nation stays in the chains of sin long enough, the Lord will lift his hand of protection from us, and we will eventually be in literal chains from a heathen nation. That heathen nation that conquers us may be from across the ocean, or you know what? The heathen nation may be the one that's growing up within the side of our own borders. Our sinfulness has taken away our personal liberty to live freely and peaceably within our own borders. If we continue in sin by forsaking the law of the Lord will forsake us. We will no longer have the Lord fighting our battles. We will be at the mercy of the heathen nations around the world and powerless to defend ourselves. We will lose our national liberty and be servants of the heathen. Number five, Jesus sets the captive free. Luke 4:17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, Jesus found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know all the things he's trying to get rid of are the things that sin brings into our lives. Preach the gospel to the poor. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sent to heal up the broken heart, all the hurts and the broken hearts that we have because of sin. Deliverance of the captives, people who are held by their own addictions. Recovering of the sight to the blind. The Bible says, and we've been studying there in 2 Peter, if these things be are not in you and abound, if you haven't added to your faith, it says you're blind and cannot see afar off. We must continue the work of Jesus as the body of Christ of our nation, where our nation will be back in the bondage of sin. John 20, 21, after Jesus had risen, he said unto them again, peace be unto you, and as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, or bring to remission, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You know what he said? Whether our nation is revived and saved, or whether our nation goes to hell, is our decision. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. He came to set the captive free. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And as the Father has sent him, so he sends us. The church has lost its moorings. Many of the church have forgotten about what our calling is to be. I'm all for it. We have a lot of social things going on. But the fact is, the goal for our church is to win folks to Christ. But the fact is, you know, they didn't have organized Thursday night visitation in the first century. When they were down at the well getting water, they talked of it. When friends were in their house, they talked about it. When they were at the marketplace, they talked about it. They gave the gospel to wherever they were. Real people with real faith talking to others about a real relationship with the God. Number six, I'm getting almost done here. There is no liberty without Jesus. Once again, our nation divorced itself from the Lord in the 60s when it decided that it was unfitting to tell our children about God in the public schools. Our nation basically outlawed the name of its creator and liberator, Jehovah, from the halls of learning. But the fear of God is beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. Our children do not understand life because they have been deprived of the knowledge of the holy. They're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth because they do not and are not allowed to fear God. Do our men and women of the armed forces fight in vain if the Lord is not fighting our battles? Abraham Lincoln said, sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side, but greater concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. Lincoln appointed a day of fasting and humiliation during the time of the Civil War. And we kind of spoke about that when about the Battle of the Republic. But watch this. Lincoln in his address said this, whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. And insomuch as we know that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. All that is to say this last little tiny little part. The best thing we can do to support our men and women in uniform that go across the world fighting for our freedom is for us to go in the highways and the hedges of this nation and proclaim liberty in Jesus. So that when they go to war, the Lord will fight their battle. Isaiah 61, which Jesus quoted, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. Because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord."